figure, part of the greatest figure, in Iksamim, where they talk about all the different leniencies that Chazal instituted vis-a-vis Iksam. Of course, all the kulas are predicated on the same assumption. We're not dealing with the need of their rights anyway. Why there's no need of their rights? So that was really the first couple of shiur about the lack of Hargasha. So assuming that we're only dealing with the Ketzem, so last week we spoke about the Ketzem is found in the Dov HaShem, a couple of Tumah, why it's okay. And now we move on to the next figure. It says over here, CD number 4, on page number 5. It's called the Ketzem or Beget Savua. So the Ketzem is found, the stain is found on something which is colored, in this case it's a colored garment. What would that look like? So the first that remember comes, first page number 5. So the Tanakhama tells us that if you have a colored garment, so it is subject to the rules of Ksamim. It sounds like that should be pretty obvious, like why in the world should make a difference whether it's colored or it's not colored. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Nosser by Yosef, Rabbi Nosser by Yosef says, no, that a colored garment is not subject to the rules of Ksamim. Why in the world should that be? So the Gemara never explains. Rashi, inside Rashi, the spot says that perhaps the reason is because we'll learn later on, color is such a major component to the Paschal Chosniga. The Torah tells us ki polin nuchad davar mishru bin dam ladam, that some damim are mutter, some damim are also. Sometimes you have something which, although biologically is blood, but halakhically is not considered to be a problem because it doesn't have the right shade, it's not the right color of red. Because it's very, very hard to discern what is blood, what's not blood, halakhically. So the Chacham told us that if you find the kesem on white, then you can look at it carefully and you'll be able to tell if the tamar is a tar. If you find the kesem on a green colored garment, a blue colored garment, and a black colored garment, it'll be almost impossible to discern properly what color it is. And therefore, we're not going to be able to paskin correctly as it also is a mutar. Therefore, there's only midrabanan anyway. So midrabanan, they would make them. The Rabbanan, they said, if it's impossible to really determine what the proper color is, so the Rabbanan, they would never go to Ksavim Mechlal. That's at least Rashi's interpretation of this kula. So Tanakhama didn't buy into this kula. Tanakhama said there's no such thing. And the Tana Rabbi Nosson disagreed. And then Rabbi Nosson has a strange comment. He says, Shalom Tiknu Big Yitzivarim Isha, Al Hakala Kismayan. And Rabbi Nosson says, and after all, the Chachamim were Mesak, and the Chachamim instituted that women should wear colored garments, dafka for this reason. Specifically because we don't want problems in Upas Nidra. We don't want a woman to become a suitor. There's no reason to look for trouble. It's not in the Durban anyway. So therefore, the Chum instituted that women should dafka wear colored garments, dafka to avoid Ksavim. So you see that since there was a Kanas of Chum to wear colored garments, obviously you're accomplishing something by wearing it. Obviously it must be that a Ketzem found uncolored is not a problem. So the Gemara asks, and that Loshen Rabbi Nosson, Tiknu, Mai Teknidu. Who was Masaka? What do you mean, there was Takana Sachamim, which basically exactly instituted. Where have we ever heard that there was a Takana that a woman has to wear colored garments? But the Gemara revamps and says that's not what Rabbi Nosson meant. Elash lo chutru b'idei tzivayim isha el hatlok is man. Rabbi Nosson never meant to say that the Chachamim were actually formally misaking for a woman to wear colored. All he said was that Chazal were matir, Chazal permitted the wearing of colored. The Gemara jumps on that lashon and also chutru, the chal de asiri. Chutru has the connotation that it should have been asr. There should have been some kind of objective problem. You're not allowed to wear colored garments. And Chazal turned around and will mock it for the purposes of being made looks of. I mean, it was asr. We've heard such a thing. It's asr to wear colored garments. So he was saying, yeah, it would have been asr to wear colored garments for a totally different reason. Nothing to do with luchas. Neither. Everyone should have only been wearing white. No colored garments at all. Tisnad, b'pumus v'las b'syanus, gazul ha'toros chasanam v'yala iros. This is a Mishnah in the end of this episode where the Mishnah tells us that at different stages of the Churban, Chazal instituted certain things to commemorate how difficult the situation was. We should remember the Beis HaMikdash. So a difference that some of these tekonos were made in Shas Churban Mamish, some were made a little bit later. So in the wars of Aspasianus, wars of that time, so Chazal instituted that you're not supposed to wear Aspataras Chasanim, that Chasanim shouldn't wear crowns. In fact, that was the practice. That the chassam would wear to make him look like a king, so that was just a little bit doing too much. You can have a nice chassam, but you can't love enough too much. That was a kana that was made, it was an ist that was made, al zeichel l'churban. Viala Eros, and they also prohibited certain kinds of bells, certain kinds of instruments, whatever they were, also as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Bikshu Mikzor Abigdei Tzivayim. Chazal at that time wanted to make a gezeira. They wanted to make a gezeira that nobody should wear colored garments. Why is that colored garments? Oh, especially that was nice, that was fancy. So they thought that that would not be appropriate. Everyone should just wear a very, very, very simple dress. So they wanted to make a gezeira that nobody should wear colored then they decided not to do that. They decided that if they're going to make a gezeira that people can't wear colored garments, so that's going to force the women also can't wear colored garments. If they can't wear colored garments, then they're never going to have this kula of ksamim. Let's not forget, the original discussion was on undergarments. In the days of Chazal, they didn't wear undergarments. So when they talk about Bigdei Tzivonim, there was a woman going to wear a colored dress, and a colored whatever it was, a robe, and the dog is going to fall on the robe. So based on the Zeichel HaChorban, we should have asked that. We should have told everyone has to wear white. No one's allowed to wear fancy colored garments. So Chazal should have done that. And they opted not to do that, because doing that would have added indirectly a chumen uchus nida. They had to wait at the time and figure out, is it better that we should institute a gezeira not to wear colored Zeichel HaChorban, or is it better that we should have more leniency than uchus nida? They decided the halakha kismei was more important to give the women the option of wearing color. So Rabbi Nassim says, you see from here that wearing color does something. Wearing color helps us. Otherwise, this whole discussion would have been an irrelevant discussion. You see, just parenthetically, that when Chazal make gezeiras, they make the kronos, they make dinim derabonim, it's not just like a chick-chack thing. Yeah, well, sounds like a good gezeira, kind of thing. You have to think about it, you have to figure it out. You can't just stop making gezeiras. You have to look really, really hard to evaluate what impact this gezeira is going to make. What are the down-the-line consequences? So we may jump to make a zeichel chorban, but that zeichel chorban is going to impact negatively another area of halacha, so that's part of the cheshbin as well. So when all the dust settles, getting back to the chesnita purposes, the Tanakhama, never heard of this whole story, Tanakhama says there is no such din of Bigdei Tzivayim. And Rabbi Nassim says, that there is a din of Bigdei Tzivayim. How do we pass it now? Should we follow the view of the Tanakhama, that this whole kula doesn't exist, or should we follow the view of Rabbi Nassim? So the Rambam, the second of the Namakamos, so first the Rambam quotes in the Rambam Menuchos Yisroel Bia Perek Tes Halacha Zayin. So first the Rambam quotes the whole kula of last week about Dovah She'en Mekabel Tumah, and then in the end it's third line from the top to the end of the line. Below the Mekabel Tumah, even something that's Mekabel Tumah is not subject to Ksamim. El Imkein Hayalavan, only if it's something that's white. Of a klei tzivonim in choshen the kesmanim. So if one finds a kesem on colored garments, so there's nothing to worry about. You don't have to be concerned at all. Now listen to what the Rambam says. Lefikach, therefore, tiknu chachamim, shetilba she'isha b'gdei tzivayim, k'dei latzil b'din ha'ksomim. Therefore, the chachamim instituted that a woman should specifically wear colored in order to avoid any shalas b'chus ksomim. So half the Rambam we understand, and the second half of the Rambam we don't understand. So the half of the Rambam that we understand is that the Rambam is making. Okay, I understand? It's a machlekes ha'tanoim. And even though we don't have a clear cut, the psach and the gemara, what the din should be, but let's not forget, we're only dealing with the derabbanan, and we're dealing with the very low level derabbanan, to which the Mishnah itself told us, the ksamim shav lahakha. We remember back from a few weeks ago, Rabbi Akiva already told us that nuchas ksamim, we tend to be very, very mekil. So here we have a machlekes ha'tanoim, the gemara is not machari in which way. So when it comes to ksamim, we have a right to be mekil. That's how the Rambam paskin, the paskin makul. So that here for the Rambam is understandable. The second here for the Rambam is very, very difficult. Because the second half of the Rambam says, "Lefikach tiknu chachamim," it makes it sound like it's a formal takana derabbanan that a woman has to wear tzivonim. There's no such halacha. Not only is there no such halacha, the Gemara itself questioned that. The Gemara, back to the first Rambam comes, the Gemara originally said, "Shlo tiknu bigdei tzivonim leish." The Gemara first quoted the lashon that it was a formal takana to wear colors, and then the Gemara backpedaled and said, "My tekdinu." Who said? Who was Masak? No, it was Masak in it. But the Gemara's conclusion was that it was a heter. There's a big difference between a heter and a takana. Rambam makes it sound like when a woman comes and asks the shayla, should I wear colors? You better wear colors. You have to wear colors. It's a takana, it's a home to wear colors. From the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way. The Gemara sounds like we would say that, you know, if you wear colors, you're going to be better off. And you don't want to wear colors. It's up to you. So how did what the Gemara says was a heter all of a sudden become a takana? So the Kesef Mishnah, if anybody could read the Kesef Mishnah, so we're going to take off all glasses for reading this Kesef Mishnah, and then even with all that, we have to hope for the best, especially Shat Ishmael, anyone past the age of 50 for sure. So the Kesef Mishnah, the Fikach Tiknu Chachavim, Zayin, the Tumash Isha Bignei Tzivonim, Kosef HaRav HaMagid, the Amina B'Gemara, Man Tekdinu, Ela'ema Hutru. That the like, Mishnah just quotes the Lashon HaGemara that it wasn't really a takana, it was only a heter. Me'achar the Ma'ida Omar Shalo Tiknu Idchilei. Once the Gemara rejects the Shalo, the Lashon HaTakana, V'hada Omar Shalo Hutru, and the Gemara just says it means Shalo Hutru. Hayav Kosem Rabbeinu Lefikach Tiknu. How could the Rambam say that it was a formal, official takana? So the Gemara says not that way. The next line, I feel like I'm reading like an old Savyad, when you read these old manuscripts, you have to make believe that every other word you think it, you know what I mean. So the Efshar, Shakir Sacher Zaisalos. Maybe some other Ram didn't have that line in the Gemara. That's one way out. But, oh, Shu Soy, but maybe the Ram held like this. The Kaber Lo Ibche Med Amatiknu, El Bishum Lo Yada Maitakdinu. When the Gemara jumped and said, where's the Takana? The Gemara didn't mean to ask, where's the Takana? The Gemara meant to ask, we don't have a record of this Takana. We don't have any time. We don't have a basis. We're not sure who to pin this Takana on. But, Hashna the Amina, but now the Gemara concludes, the Bepumul Shalas Pasyadus, Nasu Benasu Bedavar. Since, but we do know that in the war, in that period of time, of Aspasyadus, Caesar Aspasyadus, so they did deal with this issue. So once the Gemara comes to the historical reality that we know this was up for discussion, they were discussing whether we should prohibit Bignei Tzivonim or not. So Mistam at that time, it was actually when they finally decided to be not there, Mistam there Mistachin it as well. So basically with the Kesef Mishnah suggesting in Nasa Ramam, that although the Gemara had a fleeing Havamina that maybe it wasn't a Takana, the end it really wasn't a Takana, and the end, the Lashon of Rabbi Nasa by Yosef, going back to the first of Rabbi Cohen's for a second, so Rabbi Nasa by Yosef says, Eina Matamashim Kesef Shlo Tiknu Bignei Tzivonim, it's not true, that the Lashon Shlo Tiknu is really Emes, that there really was a formal Takana. So when all the dust settled, the Rambam basically has told us two things. He's told us, number one, that we paskin l'kula, that the gadim tzivayim is not subject, colored garments are not subject to k'samim, the reason being, because the color is difficult to discern, that's what Rashi told us. And number two, the Rambam told us that not only is it permissible, but it's actually a form of takana to wear it. Do we follow the sheet of the Rambam? So we're not even sure that we follow either one of these statements of the Rambam. We're not sure that we're making one tzivonim in the first place. And even if we are making one tzivonim, we're not quite sure that there's really a takana to do it.
Okay. This only applies, you know, this doesn't apply to Shivnikim.
But we didn't say a word about Shivnikim yet. We have no idea yet where that comes from, that idea of not wearing kol during Shivnikim. But we got a while to go to get there. So comes the Hagos Maimoni on the notes at the bottom of the Rambam. And Hagos Maimoni. The one that I was preparing on just looked a little bit better than this. Let me try this one. Okay, it's a little better. Okay, not too much, but a little better. So that goes Maimoni in number 5. So it's Ozvav, could be honest with Yosef. The Maisi Rai Vaderis have shown him. The Sadi Bapumash Los Pashanis goes with Chuli. A big shul ligs or Alpha Big Nitzivon. I don't know the whole quote. Udulok at a common over begging Tzivon with Amishim Kesem. So not like the first opinion that says that Tzivonim is a problem. The Chay Pasik Rabbeinu Simcha. So Rabbeinu Simcha, one of the Ashkenazi Mishanim, also Pasik in this way. But the Kosav, but now it comes and says, not so simple. The Ahi Kilusa, Lo nemra el beged, shalom the tami taros hanogos bo. Rabbi Simcha said that when do we say that bignei tzivonim is not a problem? It means the beged tzavua itself is not a problem. The beged's not going to become tamei. Aval isha tamei, but the woman, she's going to become tamei. Midalok ama beged tzavua ein makabel k'savim kalishin estabimus. He said. So if you look carefully, says Rabbi Simcha, the lashon of the brisa is not that beged tzavua ein makabel k'samim. It says beged tzavua in the metame mishum kesem. What's the difference? Ein makabel k'samim is an all-encompassing statement, meaning k'samim don't apply. There's no din of k'samim on color. Says Rebbe Simcha, there's no such statement. It's not true. That means a colored garment can't become tameh. What does that mean to us? Nothing. It's irrelevant for us. We don't care whether the beggar's tameh. The only thing that matters to us is the woman asura or not. So Rebbe Simcha, one fell swoop, just knocked out the entire din. Says that the whole kulut tzidonim was only said vis-a-vis taras. And this is a throwback to some of the things we spoke about in the past. That this Rebbe Simcha is undermining a yisod we've been saying all along, that taras and the woman go hand in hand. No matter whatever the psak for the beggar is going to be the psak for the woman and vice versa. You can't have a psak of type of disaster in the minds of people. For Rebbe Simcha, the Rishon, in Tata's opinion, he's saying though that the kula big day tzivona was only said vis-a-vis the beggar, wasn't said concerning the isha. Then he goes on, v'chein kosa, which should be haramban, hiluchas nida, kidvarav, shafilu ha'ikli tzivona, mikev shekesem nikaben tomeg. Ramban writes, that we paskin the big day tzivona is a problem. As long as you can see the kesem, that is considered to be a problem, and it could be the Ramban Paskin, like the Tanakh, maybe the Ramban Paskin, like Rabbeinu Nasa, Rabbi Nasa Yosef.
So
he's
saying the
Chomer Eregar,
I mean, we don't even know what color it is. How
right.
So he's saying you have to assume every single cast.
So the question is, he saying
the color that
right, is he saying that, or is he saying that? Well, if you have a color that you could tell, say, I see many on colored garments, I can tell you, I know exactly it's red. Like, it's on color. It's very light color.
Even though when color reacts to color, that's when
it changes. If you find a cast on a black garment, it's going to be very hard to tell. If you find a cast on a light yellow garment, I can tell exactly what color it is. It's still going to be looked according to Pashas, according to the Rambam.
Does kilus mean kula, or is that something else?
Kula?
The word kilus, though?
Kilus means kula, yeah.
Okay.
So now, with all the dust settles, how do we paskin the halacha? But we still have two things we want to know. We want to know, number one, do we paskin like the Tanakh Kama, do we paskin like Rabbi Nasan, do we paskin that the Gunim Sivonim is subject to Ksavim or not? And even if we paskin the Kula, do we follow the Rambam's statement that a woman now has mechuyavet, she has to bend over backwards and make sure she's wearing Sivonim, otherwise she's almost in violation of a Tekanas Chavim? So which one of those two things, or neither or both, do we follow the Halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch at the bottom of page 5, those who have just the pages, I didn't copy the next page. If you may want to look along in the book, those who just follow the pages per se. You know, we have one more. We just gave the one that you can't see it anyway, so. So at the bottom of page 5, that was last week. Shia, whatever said makabatuma is not a problem. Kate said makabatuma olam. Obisakise said makabatuma. Okodav said makabatuma. The top of page 6. Yashlu latzadam. That was the punchline for us. V'chein kesem shenimsa abeget tahua tahora. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The Shulchan Aruch writes that a kesem that's found on a beget tahua is permissible. The Shulchan Aruch is not just talking about whether the beggar is tameh. He's not writing a Shulchan Aruch for the days of the Beis Hamikdash. He's writing it for here and now. The Shulchan Aruch is quite clear that we follow the Shittas Rambam against the Ramban. But we paskin that it's going to be permissible, women's mutaris, etc. Notwithstanding the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, it still didn't end the days of the Shulchan Aruch. The Nevi Yehuda goes back to the Shulchan Aruch and says, you know, I'm not so sure why the Shulchan Aruch passed you that way. Rebbe Simcha disagrees, and the Ramban disagrees, and other, the collection of a group of Rishon will disagree and keeps on asking it. But notwithstanding, you know, the Yehuda is a critique. The Pesach Halacha is Nimna Vagomu and all the later generations that have followed this kula. So Halacha Maisa today, we do follow this kula of Big Day Tzivonim without any hesitation. Now, what about the second half of what Rambam told us? Not only do we follow the kula, but we tell the woman she has to wear Big Day Tzivonim. So in the parentheses, at the top of that marmokum is the Loshen HaRamah, Lefikach Tilbash Aisha Big Day Tzivonim, Gdei Lahatzila Miksamim, a quote from the Rambam, or maybe not from the Rambam. The Ramah says, therefore, a woman should wear Begadim Tzivonim to help her. Otherwise, she's going to get into trouble for no reason. So to avoid issues of Ksamim, we're going to tell her that she should wear Begadim Tzivonim. Telling a woman that she should in order to have a leniency is a far cry from telling her that she's obligated to do. The Ramah doesn't mention the Lashon Takana. The Ramah falls back on almost the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara says it was a heter, wasn't a takana. And even though it says, quoting the Rambam, it's not really the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that it's okay, But the Rambam said more than okay. He said you're obligated to. We say that. We recommend it. So that's how we pass in the halacha, almost a split. That yes, we pass in like the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch against the view that we pass in that for Gerem Tzivonim is alright. And if she finds a kesef on a Beget Tzivonim, it's going to be okay. However, we don't go so far as to say that she must wear for Gerem Tzivonim. If a woman's wearing white, so we don't say that you're violating a Tachar Shulchan, that we don't say. On the other hand, we strongly, strongly recommend. And unfortunately, there have been times when a woman, well, for whatever reason, wasn't wearing tzivonim, either she didn't know, or she couldn't find her, she was wearing white, and boom, it was bad luck, and she ended up becoming an idiot. It cost the person 2 weeks if they're not careful about this. And therefore, a woman should always be in the habit, we didn't talk about Shemini Kiyum yet, during the rest of the month, she should always be in the habit of wearing the garb of tzivonim to avoid potential shilas.
Do the sfarim hold that you really actually have to?
If we would have to? I'm not sure. In the end, I'm not sure there's much of a difference, because the mics are going to tell me what to do every day. I don't know. So now that we've accepted this kula of the Gadam Tzivonim, let's see if we can give some of the parameters, what is included and what is perhaps not included in this kula. So one thing which is obviously not included in this kula is that this is only talking about ksubim. This is not talking about real re'ios min haTorah. This is a throwback that we said already from several shiurim, that any kula that we find in ksubim, whether it's a kula of pachas v'gris, a kula of ein v'kabel tumah, whether it's a kula of tzivonim, those kulas are only true with the premise that we're dealing with the derabbanan. If we're dealing with any deraisa whatsoever, which is a throwback to earlier shiurim, either Hargosha or some modern day application of Hargosha, the equivalent, whatever Hargosha does mean, whatever the equivalent of Hargosha is, whenever that's present, then all the kulas fall by the wayside.
In the Gemara, we have Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef, who has a statement which presumably ends at, you know, Ishala El Hakal El Mehen. But then how do we understand the next two lines? Where is that coming from? Who actually writes that part?
The Gemara asking. That was the end of the Brisa. Obviously, that was the end of the Brisa. So now the Gemara is asking, Tiknu? What do you mean, Tiknu being some other? My Tiknu? Who's inside?
So in general, when we have a statement, let's say by Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef, and then the Gemara itself questions afterwards, how do we know in general that we follow, like, we have a somewhat, what seems to be like a clear statement from Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef? How do we know that if afterwards we have the Gemara itself questioning that we have to pass on like the Gemara itself?
I mean, in contrast to, we should go back and pass what we think the Tanoi meant?
I mean, the Rambam seems to be doing that.
No, that's what the Kesef Mishnah had to explain. The Rambam didn't exactly do it. The Rambam is claiming that the Maskana Se Gemara is that way. We have no right to go back and reinterpret the Tanoim in ways that the Amoraim did it. That's all part of the Masorah. That's part of our chain of tradition. We don't have to go back to the Tanoim and go give noob shot. We assume that the Chachmei Gemara understood the Tanoim much better than we do.
I mean, the best shot in the Rambam is that he just read Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef and said, okay.
But the Rambam didn't ignore the next two lines of the Gemara. Unless you argue the Rambam didn't have that line in the Gemara, that's the case that Mishnah said as a possibility, or the Rambam did, and the Rambam understood that the ultimate was kind of the Gemara was to read Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef, like he originally said. But the Rambam would never say that. Yeah, Rabbi Nassim, the Rambam would never ever make such a statement that Ravina Ravashi read the Tanakh this way, but I'm smarter than them, I'm going to go back and read the original way. So that the Rambam writes in his Agdama to Beresha Mishnayas, I don't take this personally. Rambam says that's the Kfira. You know, right? That's not the person. That's Kfira to Moshe. For us to go ahead and think that we're smarter than the Chachamei Gemara, you have to figure it out.
That's okay.
Rambam writes pages and pages and pages about this. How part of it, the basic ABCs in the Sora is that the Amoraim had the last words and what the Tesh Rafael was. And our job is to understand how they interpreted the previous generation's things.
Okay.
Good. Okay, anyway. So since we're only dealing with the Rabbanan, not with the Araisas, it should be obvious, I guess, it should be obvious, but even the obvious isn't always obvious, that if a woman is getting a regular period, and she's getting a lot of bleeding, so that's for sure needed the Araisa, no matter how you slice that, that's a needed the Araisa. And since that's a needed the Araisa, clues of some are going to apply, Sivan's not going to apply. Remember once a woman called me, and after talking a little bit, I came to the realization that she had, I guess she had gone to half a kala class, and then go to the other half. She knew there was a kula called Big Dick Tzivonim, so she was wearing Big Dick Tzivonim when she got a period. She was wearing Big Dick Tzivonim, and she would say, well, everything that I got was all uncolored, so I'm not a Nida, that's an Issacharis. So the kula of Tzivonim is only for a woman who's not getting a real bona fide Anita Deraisa. Are there any other serious limitations to Tzivonim? So we mentioned that Rashi says that the reason why they gave the kula of Tzivonim is because the color is not so clear, A was touching upon. So there are some achronim that are chumra and say, wait a second, maybe that kula only applies if it's not so clear. So if a woman's wearing a dark green undergarment or something, and she finds a gas, it's not going to be very hard to tell. Is it red? Is it brown? It's not going to show up so well. But she's wearing a very, very light shade of a yellowish or something, or grayish or some other very, very light color, then maybe one could argue that but yes, maybe that wasn't called tzivonim. I mean, tzivonim only means those kinds of tzivonim that mask the color. But if it's a type of tzivonim that doesn't mask the color, maybe that would be problematic. So there were some contemporary posts who held that way, and others disagreed. Other posts said, no, Eilam l'chadish chumras v'esmenu. It's true that the original reason for the takana may not apply if it's a very, very light colored garment. But Chazal didn't make Takana Sechom like that way. We have a principle called the Lo Plug. The Lo Plug works both the Chumra and the Kula. So here, Lo Plug is going to work for us the Kula. But Chazal wanted to give us some kind of a formal Takana. The Takana was, Tzivonim is not Ksamim, and white is Ksamim. It's almost like when we spoke about the Sugya of Eidim Kabbalatumah. So we said, the Chazal formulated it, if it's Kabbalatumah, it's a problem. If it's not Kabbalatumah, it's not a problem. Even though the Tumah that's Kabbal, the reason doesn't apply. Let's say it's Tumah's Negoyim. So Tumah's Negoyim doesn't fit into the whole picture. It doesn't matter. Once Chazal formulated and said, Kabbalatumah Aser, Eidim Kabbalatumah Mutter, so too, Sivonim Mutter, White Aser. The reason may not apply, the Kul may not apply, so we get a freebie on that. You get an advantage. Well, Plug helps us every once in a while. That's what many, many folks can say. I think we have a right to be making like that. Again, the Ksam Shom Mahakel. We're not looking for Chumras and Uchus Ksamim. So we, many Rabbanim today, myself included, have followed this practice that if it's a Sivonim, it's Sivonim. It's a color garment. We don't have to stop to look at it and say, I can look at it. Very often I'll see a cast of Sivonim and I'll say, I know exactly what color it is. That's the way it's got.
So if you're
going
to say Lo Plug, do you have to be mechalek between, let's say, cream and what?
Now we get into the nitty-gritty, into some color schemes here. Now we have to figure out what is considered to be colored and what is considered to be white. So that's a serious question. So there's some things that are very, very obvious. It is very obvious, I think, that this is white. It is also very obvious that, I was going to say this is not white, maybe white. This is not white. This is white, this is not white. What if you have things that are a little bit somewhere in the middle? So some posts come through, what about gray? Is gray considered to be white? Or is gray considered to be gray? So I think the answer is, it's considered to be gray. It's considered to be colored. When I was a kid, they used to have the box of the 64 crayons. They still have, probably now have like 4,000 crayons or something. So I remember when I was a little boy, I shouldn't say this publicly, but I've gotten over the trauma of it. The first day of first grade, we were told we have to bring crayons. So the crayons brought me a little box of 8 crayons. And some other kids in the class had the 64. I came home hysterical crying. I don't buy an 8, and they had a 64. So I think my parents made me feel better. They brought me a box of 16. They felt as if this machita that couldn't bring a 64. I couldn't afford a 64 crayons. So, you know, I have to learn, you have to grow in life. What was I going to get when I get to second grade? So anything that's... this is my feeling, the birthday time. So when you look at a color gray is gray. Gray is not white. If I would say to you, I'm wearing a gray suit, not a white suit. But I think that one has a right to be make a look at. If you have other kinds of colors, so there's a very tricky color out there. It's called off-white. What does off-white mean? Is off-white one of the 64 colors? I don't think so. Off-white means it's basically white. It's just, it's off. Kishmoy Kenu. I don't know, it's hard for me to be making on...
they call it cream.
So is that cream? Is cream the same? I don't think cream is the same.
Green is off-white.
It's off-white. It's
like yellow and white.
I don't know, would I be making on this table? What color is the table? It's white. You'd say it's a... You would call it gray?
Pure. It's not pure white.
It's like green.
Or like the wall.
They
did not beige. The wall's white.
The wall's white. This is white.
This is not white.
So that nuance can become very, 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 very important halacha, because very often to find the kesem, even a woman who's wearing color, she's taking the Rambam's recommendation, the Rambam's recommendation, and with the kesem was initially found it's on Tzavua, but every once in a while the kesem will seep onto another thing that she's wearing that she didn't even think would possibly be a problem. So stopping. Finds the kesem on the stocking depends the color they are. So if they're mamish white, then there could be a problem. We mentioned this about the Enam Kabbalatumah a couple of weeks ago. The stocking is not Kabbalatumah because it's made out of of a synthetic material, but we'll mock around that because it still has potentially cotton strings in it. So maybe we could be making other stuff because it's regarding tzedonim. So it depends what color it is. So sometimes this is color many times. It's a shayla. That's, you know, the woman is not thinking about this. She doesn't. She's in the middle of a day that she's at home. She's not expecting to get anything. She's wearing colored, you know, just for the, because she was told to wear colored. But she's wearing the stocking, and although the stockings themselves may be tzedonim, the crotch part of the stockings, the little white pair of the stockings, is white. And sometimes I've had to sometimes declare a woman to be a neva, not because of the kesset that's found on the other way, we looked the other way, it was tzedonim. On the stocking, it was beige, so we looked the other way for that also. But on the white part, so that became a problem. Sometimes you have a funny thing. Sometimes you have it's white, but sometimes there are threads that are black, but sometimes make it look gray. Okay, you start getting color mixed up from these things. You have to look carefully and see. A lot of these things are a few rows in the dye, and the dye says, the rub says, this looks like this article is colored. So that's okay. If it looks to be like it's white, then it's going to be a problem. So how do you call it? My off-white, my beige, my cream, and whatever you want to call it. So maybe another rub is a different color scheme. But again, if it's white, it's usser. If it's any other quasi-color, then it's going to potentially be mutter. There are some poskim who question whether the kula of all these kulas, whether this applies even to undergarments. Because in the days of Chazal, so most of the discussion was about they're wearing robes, they're wearing tunics, I don't know what they're wearing, but when a woman finds the kesef on the undergarment, maybe that's more chomer. So some suggested that. I think it's also not like that. We assume, if you follow the chomer, then the whole shiur today was a matala. But we assume the kula that if it's on tzivonim, is going to be okay, nothing to worry about. There is a very important shayla that comes up in terms of tzivonim. The particulars of this shayla happen once in a while, but the principle behind the shayla is even more important than this particular application. And that's what appears in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, in the Pischachuva near a day in Simukuf Tzadi. He quotes the following shayla. This shayla does happen, and again, the application of it happens even more. The Ayat Tshuva Slil Tzedakah Simen Tzavach Beis to Din Kesem Shenimtza Abeged Menumar Gevanim Harbe Levanim Ushar Tzivoyim. A woman finds a kesem on a multicolored garment, namely some of the garment is white and some of it is other colors. Now, how do you view this garment? Is this called Tzivonim, which is okay, or is this called Levanim, which would be a problem? Flo Haya Kishir Kesem Al Nimur Lavan Echad. That there is not enough of dam, going back to the early shiur, there's not a gris, not that magic amount, the penny size of blood, on the white part. So he says that you have a garment, and it's got a little bit of blue on it, a little bit of red on it, a little green on it, a little bit of white on it, and now we find, boom, there's a kesem splatted across the entire color array of that garment. So what is that? So do you say that that's tzivonim? Do you say that's levonim? But ofan shebein shnei chalokim shagabe pispe shnei levonim haya ben shneiim kishir. He said if you add up all the red blood on the white background, you will have a shir. But it's interrupted. It's separated. It's broken up by the different colors. Then the kashayel, the shomer who asked the question to the Me'il Tzedakah, wasn't sure. In mitzvah from the tame, do we add up all the different amounts? Hold the hifzik b'neim atzeva, because after all, the colored part of the garment is being mafzik, is separating. The garment kol atzvar matzil alaksavim. But do we say that all the different colors save this kesem? So basically, what the Me'il Tzedakah is raising the question is this one kesem? Is this multiple kesem? Do we have a right to say, well, since there's colored garment background in between, we now label this, we look at it through the eyes of two different kesem, and each kesem doesn't have a shear? Or do we say, no, who are you kidding? It's all one big kesem. So this shayla was a throwback. We spoke about this. We spoke about the sugyas of tipe tipin. But a woman finds a little bit of red over here, a little bit of red over here, a little bit of brown in the middle. Is that called one kesem? It's called two kesem. So this seems to be almost a very, very similar type of a shayla. So at least we presented what the question is. We'll have to wait until next week so I figure what the answer to this question is. Which again, the answer to this question is not just going to be relevant for this once in a while Shiloh, but for a more global Shiloh, which happens all the time. A woman comes with a kesem, and it's not really one. It's not a continuous kesem. A little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. Do we look at it through the eyes of one, or do we look at it through the eyes of multiple kesemim? So hopefully we'll get to next week. We'll try to see how this plays out in terms of this Shiloh and see what the ramifications are outside of the Shiloh to other areas of the kesemim. Next week will be the last shiur for the summer.